Steve Rasmussen. He is the interim city manager for the town of Bloomington, city of Bloomington. He joins us in the studio now. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for having me.
What time did you get out of that meeting last night?
Not bad, about 8 o'clock.
Oh, my.
But we did have a lengthy special meeting before that, so we probably could have maybe combined them together. But you never know quite how long those things will take.
All right. Well, I watched the beginning. It was basically a parade of people scolding the mayor and the council. Scolding the mayor and the council. Did they get comforted after those meetings at all?
Well, I don't know. You said it was a parade.
Yeah, it was three or four.
Two.
Oh, was it just two?
Yeah.
Oh, there was one at the prior meeting.
Yeah, two. I guess two doesn't constitute a parade, but.
No. You have to sit there and take it. Mike O'Grady, what?
Lachlan, don't make it more than it was. Well, two is not a parade.
Two is not a parade. I was thinking of the woman, maybe it was the first meeting you guys had.
Yes.
Was she videotaping herself? She was videotaping us? I thought that was kind of bizarre. Well, anyway, let's talk about some of the things that went down last night. First, I want to ask you about something that was brought up last night, the signage. Downtown consultants are involved in this. The Wayfair signs, is that what they're called? Wayfair?
Wayfinding.
Wayfinding signs.
Yep. Yeah, we had them here in the back in September when the committee proposed a wayfinding design that the council was not in favor of. So we went back and did that again, and this time we had a number of public viewings of different options in a number of different places, the museum and a number of different places. And then we had votes, and a lot of the public weighed in, and we found a design that the public favored, and it was presented last night by the committee. The chairman is Beth Wissman, and we had KMA, the architects, come in, and the council, I believe, was favorably disposed to that. I think they all liked that, and so we'll bring that back then for them to make a formal vote on it on the next council meeting, which is the 18th.
Oh, yeah, you're mixing it up there a little bit because of the holiday, right?
Yes.
So,
and
yeah,
that,
it's next week.
I would like to make a note on that, too. On the 18th, we're going to actually have that council meeting at the BCPA, at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. So everyone would know if they want to come to that meeting, not to come to City Hall on the 18th, but to come to BCPA.
And the different venue, expecting a bigger crowd?
Yes, that's right. And we're obligated to provide a meeting place that will accommodate the anticipated crowd, and we think we'll have a larger crowd than will fit in the council chambers. The fire regulations only allow us to have 111 people in the council chambers, so if we have more than that, we have to go to a different venue.
And what would be the reason for the bigger crowd that you're anticipating?
Well, it's because the council is going to then discuss the issue of a welcoming resolution or ordinance.
Okay.
And so we're expecting a big crowd for that.
All righty. That'll be next Monday. So it's, you don't have 2 weeks in a row of city council, but you will this month. And it's at the BCPA. It gets underway same time, 7 o'clock?
Yes. And there will be a pre-meeting for that. There will be a work session on that, a special meeting that will start at, I think we're scheduled now for 5 o'clock. It may be 5:15 or so, but no earlier than 5 o'clock.
All right. Will this be televised? Will you have... You won't have cameras there, will you?
Well, yes and no. What happens is we won't be able to live stream it, but we will record it so it can be played back later.
Okay. All right. I'm a big fan. I tune in every every Monday night. But
I'll remember that.
I'll check it out Tuesday morning then, maybe. It'll be ready to go by...
Okay, well, I'll remember you watching, and the next time when they have the city managers come, and if the mayor asks me if I have anything else to say, I'll say... Hi, Scott.
Yeah, just point to the camera. Give it the Carol Burnett ear tug or something like that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. What else? I want to talk about you've got some good news here when it comes to the fire department and the response times.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Yeah, that is very interesting because one of the council priorities, and you see that at the beginning of every one of the council agendas, is to reduce the response time, particularly in the Northeast. And the way it actually says, service to the city's Northeast portion is inadequate and response times are below our standards. And so as we begin to look at how to decrease response time, particularly the far Northeast, two answers have come up that have been proposed as solutions. One is to build another fire station up there, and the other is to contract with our neighboring city to the north to provide service in that area. Neither one of them are cheap, and neither one of them are fast. The interesting thing about it is, though, when the fire department looks at the data and has researched it and looks at what we call the scatter diagrams, which shows where the responses are, the way to solve that problem less expensively and quicker is actually to put another EMS unit at station number one downtown. And that is ironic in the true sense of the word, because how do you increase the response time to the Northeast by putting another unit in the central part of town? So it does not look like that would be the obvious answer until you look at the way the runs are done. And the reason for it is we can't provide response time to the Northeast as well as to the rest of the city because the EMS units at station one are overworked and they can't get to everywhere in time. If you put another unit there, so you've got two EMS units, then they decrease the response time citywide. And when you look at that data, it's pretty compelling. We're down 11 firefighters right now, and we're working hard to hire those, which includes six new firefighters, which puts another EMS unit at station one. And the fire chief is convinced, and I'm convinced as well, that that's the best way to reduce response time in the city. The council has already approved those firefighters, and they're in the budget now, and we're out trying to get those men and women on board as soon as we can.
You know, it's kind of shocking. You're down 11 firefighters, and yeah. Is it because of budgets, or is it because of the lack of interest in people wanting that as a vocation?
No, I don't think it's either one. I think it is just a tough hiring process to get firefighters on board to have the people with the right qualifications, physical requirements, education requirements, and it's tough to get firefighters on board. And we also go through a rigorous board and selection process. So we were down about five anyway that we need to do, but now we're trying to get six more. So that's six in addition to what we have.
Let me ask you, is this something exclusive to Bloomington, or is this something we're seeing across the country? Lack of qualified firefighters.
Well, I don't know because you'd have to. I'd have to look at that and research it. But it is a popular profession. We have a lot of people who would like to get in and do it. So I don't think it's a shortage, but it is a difficult process to go through.
Wow, we all as young boys wanted to become firemen. When did we lose interest? What age do you lose interest in becoming a fireman?
I don't think it's a loss of interest, is it? It's more about it. It is a because it is a popular position. There's a lot to go through to get the best qualified personnel.
Well, it is, and then you have other requirements you're trying to maintain as well because we would like to get some diversity in the fire departments. You know, we don't have any women currently. I know other fire departments sometimes have women, so we'd like to get some women in the fire departments if you could do that. And so you have a lot of competing demands that you're trying to accomplish, and you just can't get it all done at the same time.
All right. Listen up out there.
That's a very interesting question, though. I'm going to ask that. I'm actually meeting with the fire department right after this meeting, and I'll have that as my first question to him.
Oh, will I have a full report on my desk by the day's end?
Well, I'll tell you what, you can
I just like saying that. It makes me feel like I'm important.
Yeah, and you've never gotten a report in
no,
your life.
No, ever.
Ask that question of Brendan Hefter. You're going to have him here.
I've got a couple of questions for him.
He's going to be he and the fire chief in our meeting between 9 and 10, so you can get a full report from him.
All right. I shall. Let's talk about, let's see here. Oh, well, speaking of the police, police department, police presence downtown.
Yeah. That is another important thing, and one of the things that we have, again, on the on the city council's list of priorities is downtown implementation plan. And as we've had from a number of stakeholders' meetings, one of the issues we have to work to improve the downtown and to implement some of the master plan issues is to increase the sense of safety in the downtown. And one of the ways to do that is to have that as one of the goals of the police department. So they're working on a number of issues downtown, and the chief can talk about that when he comes in because he presented their strategic plan at the council meeting last night.
Okay, he'll be on with Susan after our show.
Yep.
Answering all those questions.
So that was a big night for the fire department and the police department. Both of those things are moving along well, I think.
All right. Let me ask you another question. Maybe this is one for Karch, and maybe you could just throw that in the report you're going to have for me by the day's end. I keep okay. meaning to ask this. Every holiday season, we a lot of us get gifts. They come in boxes, all right? So Christmas morning, we're opening up our gifts, and then we have all these boxes, some big boxes, some small boxes, and our recycle bins are only so big. We can break them down. We can even cut them up. I'm good with a, what do you call it, the utility knife?
Box cutter.
Yeah, box. Why couldn't I come up with the name of that device that I used to cut my boxes? It's a box cutter. That's why you're in the position you're in, and I've got this stupid radio show. So, you use the box cutter as best you can, but then you still have cardboard left over. I see people doing this. I don't do this, but I see people the week following Christmas, and they just put all their boxes next to the recycle bin. Well, I'm thinking, that's not going to get picked up. The guy who's operating that truck, he can't get out at every stop and take care of this. Any suggestions on what we can do?
The guy who is operating the trash truck with the arm that comes out won't pick that up, but they'll pick that up when the bulk guys come by to pick it up.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
Box cutter.
But that's the best way. The best way to do it is to cut them out and put it in the recycling bin, if you can do that.
All right. What do you have? Anything else?
I would like to say that we are also working hard on another downtown initiative, and that is the homelessness issue. And we have a task force that's working on that, and we have a number of people working at a number of different issues because we would like to help the homeless population downtown, and that goes along with our downtown safety issue. And I know it's an issue for a lot of the businesses downtown, and it is for the city. And I've assigned that to our new downtown development division, Tricia Stiller, and she has that on her agenda to work on it. And so we meet frequently on that, and we're working hard on that issue. It's not one that you can solve easily, but if we keep working at it, we will improve that.
All right. Is it more prevalent now with colder weather? Or is it something you've been dealing with, year in, year out, seasons make no difference? It's just something you guys have to address.
I
figure it's time.
Yeah, I think it's year in and year out, although certainly the cold weather you would think would reduce the population downtown. But
some of the shelters are down in the downtown area.
We do have some
and,
there,
and
yeah.
then they release them in the middle of the day. Is that right?
Well,
so they don't want to venture too far off, is my guess.
Well, I would ask I'm not sure exactly what the policies of those various elements are, but we have a number of entities that help it. We have downtown, we have PATH, we have the Salvation Army, we have Home Sweet Home Ministries. Yeah. So there are a number of agencies that can help. And you kind of have different kinds of homeless people. You have homeless people who are down and out that we could help, and then you have some that are kind of the chronic homeless who would prefer to be homeless rather than doing something else. And so that's a different kind of a problem that you have to handle. And we've got the right people working on it, and we'll keep working on that.
All right, here we are. It's the holiday season, and it's pushing a next city council meeting up. So we'll have it on the 18th. That's next Monday.
Yes.
So we'll have you back next week?
Yes,
oh,
on
you're
Tuesday.
Gonna be so busy.
Yeah, that's because the normal day for it, the second Monday, would be Christmas. So we won't be having a council meeting on Christmas Day.
All right. We'll remind folks that they want to attend that meeting, and evidently a lot of people do. It's moved. It'll be at the BCPA The city council meeting itself will begin at 7 o'clock next Monday night.
Yes, and the work session ahead of that, I think, will be 5.
All right, Steve. Good talking to you.